Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our kids out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. And Adam McManus is with us today, and he is host of The Worldview in 5 Minutes. And today, big things happening in the Capitol, Adam, this week. Wow. Wednesday, that the rally, the vote on certifying the election, now apparently is off because of the attempt on the part of the protesters to occupy the Capitol building, and the saga continues.
Very few, I would say, but there were some who entered, breached the Capitol building, and apparently there was a shot, and someone was taken to the hospital. President Trump and many conservative Republicans like Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton urged people to be peaceful and to stand down, that we are the party of law and order. The challenge here is you've got hundreds of thousands, maybe over a million people. They were predicting it could have gone as high as 3 million. We don't have the numbers yet. But you've got that many people who feel disenfranchised, who feel like the vote was stolen, that shenanigans were played with in terms of either the computer models of adding the votes or false votes thrown in there after deadlines at drop boxes or just brought in trucks, however they were done. And people are just boiling mad. And some small percentage are going to resort to violence. It was almost inevitable.
Well, there is a destabilization of the nation. We've seen this with banana republics. We've seen this with places like Zimbabwe, South American countries, South Africa. We've seen this kind of violence and unrest in other countries around the world. Thanks be to God, we have been protected from this for, well, almost 240 years, with a few exceptions here and there. Of course, the big exception was the Civil War in the 1860s. But by and large, over generations, we have been somewhat protected from a lot of violence on the streets. That has increased in the year 2020. Of course, you know, nobody's remembering all the violence that came from BLM and Antifa all the way through June, July, and August, and the $2 billion of damage that these protesters from the left side incurred upon the nation, probably the most serious riots we have confronted in 100 years. And now here, the those on the right, presumably some conservatives, are gathered in Washington, and President Trump was encouraging the troops in a speech that he gave on Wednesday morning. And he also encouraged Vice President Mike Pence to do the right thing and reject the electoral votes, which he did not or plans not to do. Pence wrote something like a 3-page letter, a public letter, and rejected the idea that he had unilateral power to exercise his influence to overturn the presidential election. He just didn't think that was appropriate according to the Constitution and the original intent of the founders of this nation. So he took, you know, tradition seriously, took the historical position seriously and the constitutional position seriously, and said, okay, we can't take shortcuts here. There are elements of anarchism happening in our nation's capital, and I think you're going to get it from the left, you're going to get it from the right, because the nation is divided. The nation is upset. The nation is divided against itself, and as Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And by the providence of God, America is a nation in turmoil. America is divided against itself. It's hard to believe the nation will survive. We've been talking about this now for a couple of years. You know, there are elements of anarchism, no question about it, storming the congressional building, evidently guns firing off. Generally, I would say the majority of people there at in Washington at the Trump rally were peaceful protesters. So, again, as you said, it's not everybody.
No, it's just a small handful of people, actually. I know a number of people that are in Washington, D.C. as we speak. They felt obligated to go there to stand with the president. And more importantly, it's not just about President Trump, as many have stated before. It's about the integrity of our election process. If we cannot cast a ballot and know that in good conscience it will be husbanded properly and it will be cared for and it will not be relinquished falsely, then we have to stand up. The National Guard moved on the Capitol. The Drudge Report headlines just continue to scream in 48-point font in red and blue and black, calls for Trump removal. Bill Kristol, no surprise, who's become a Democrat, is calling for his impeachment. Biden warns sedition. And there are contemporaneous rallies going on in the state capitals across the country saying that the vote has been stolen. So, Kevin, there are 75 million Americans who voted for President Trump who are feeling terribly disenfranchised right now.
Yeah, no question about that. And friends, just trying to discern the times today so we'll know what to do on the radio program. And one of the points I want to make before we take a break is these peaceful protests and rallies can be good for blowing off steam and such. I don't think they affect public policy all that much. Now, they tend to work for the left, and people need to understand this, that generally speaking, the rallies, the protests, even the violent protests, have worked for the left, as in the Vietnam protests, because the mainstream media always covers the protests in a sympathetic manner and then uses their powers to influence the political leaders, and they've done that for 100 years. That has been the modus operandi of the media to turn us towards a revolutionary state, a Marxist state, an agenda that opposes God's law. So if it is revolutionary, if it's Marxist, if it's wicked, if the agenda opposes God's law, the media is all for it. And we saw that with BLM, we saw that with Antifa. You know, what mainstream media person had the guts to stand up and say this, all these riots is just anarchy and it's violating private property and destroying, people's inheritance and such? There wasn't much of that. The media was not down on BLM and Antifa. But what are they saying about the conservative patriotic Americans, some of whom are swarming the Capitol today?
They are outraged. So the double standard is alive and well, isn't it?
Exactly. And so the point is this, that the right has to be careful not to copy the left on their modus operandi. That's my point. Protests and rallies have worked and because they played in the hands of the media for the left. So it's helped the left. Whenever it's a leftist agenda, whenever it's a Marxist agenda, absolutely, yeah, these guys are on the street and the media is right there supporting the whole thing and hoping that by their support, there will be something of a change of public policy. That's not going to happen for the conservatives, friends. It didn't work for Operation Rescue. For Christians, we cannot take shortcuts. We cannot move towards anarchy. We are most interested in exploring the legal means and the more fundamental means to social change and political influence, which, by the way, happens largely in the church, largely in evangelism, largely in the change of heart. And also, we don't think the government is the end-all and be-all of everything, and that's one reason why we are not as committed to revolution and as committed to taking it to the streets and taking it to anarchical means as the leftists do. Now, friends, I just did a calculation before we take the break. I want to leave this with you. Let's say you had 3 million people in Washington. Of course, that's a high end. But let's say you got 3 million conservatives into Washington over the last 3 to 4 months and all of these rallies and such for these protests. Now, if it commits these guys to an ongoing involvement in the cause of righteousness, honest elections, fill in the blank, I'm good for that. But just take this financially for just a moment. You take 3 million people spending $1,000 for airplane fares, for a taxi, for rental cars, for a hotel, et cetera, et cetera. 3 million people at $1,000 apiece for travel and all the rest. That's $3 billion. Now take that $3 billion.
A lot of money.
And provide $1 million to 3,000 righteous candidates running for office, and spend that money in October instead of December or January, and I think you're going to see more long-term effect. Now, the problem is we've got an election issue, and we're going to talk about election dishonesty, election integrity. What's the problem? How do we fix it? That next on Generation. Stay with us.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released 5th grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Big things happening in the United States of America, my friends. I was watching the president's speech to the rally crowd this morning, and I told my daughter, you're going to remember this in years to come. I remember Richard Nixon and his impeachment. I remember him, I would have been about 10 years old at the time, and I remember him getting on the helicopter and saying goodbye. And, you know, he had been removed from office. And that was a big moment, I'm going to say in 1973, 1974, can't remember exactly when it was, but I was probably 9 or 10 years of age and remember that happening. Something similar, something as significant is happening in the 2020 elections and the results and the effect upon 75 million Americans who, as Adam has said, are somewhat disenfranchised or very much disenfranchised by the election lack of integrity. And that was the theme for the rally this morning. That is Wednesday morning, and President Trump addressed everybody and gave a fairly long litany of the problems that existed in Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and such. And it's interesting that the President of the United States is expecting election fraud, not just in the 2020 presidential election, but also the Georgia runoff election. I was following his tweets. And by the way, I'm following his tweets right now because none of his perspective is going to be shared on the mainstream media. And I just kind of want to know what our president thinks. Our president is still president of the United States. I respect him and reverence him as God's duly appointed authority in our country. And so I'm curious what the president of the United States is saying, despite all of the persecution and opposition on the part of Fox News and all the rest of the mainstream media. So I'm interested. So I'm watching it. He's basically telling the nation, you know, voting's a waste of time. If you're a Republican, election fraud is to be expected. I think it was 10 p.m. Tuesday night. He said, looks like they're setting up a big voter dump against the Republican candidates, waiting to see how many votes they need. 11 p.m., again, this is Trump's tweet, just happened to have found another 4,000 ballots from Fulton County. Here we go. So, again, the sarcasm, the expectation of a total fraud in Georgia for the Tuesday runoff election. At the Washington, D.C. rally I watched this morning as well, he said this, quote, the election in Georgia was a setup. Loeffler and Perdue never had a shot. Never had a shot. That's quote unquote. So, you know, you get a sense of his skepticism. You get the sense that he is disenfranchised, that he believes that America is shot, that America's election process is pretty much useless, and democracy is dead.
And I would say that Eric Erickson, the talk show host, conservative host out of Atlanta, Georgia, who knows the ground game well, said that the rhetoric of the president might have even backfired because it discouraged Republicans from voting, feeling like their vote wouldn't matter anyway. So that was certainly a double-edged sword, to be sure.
Well, I think it's extraordinary that this is the president of the United States that is responding to the national breakdown of election integrity as he is. This isn't, you know, this isn't Tom Cruise, some, you know, paranoiac in the movie Conspiracy Theory who's lost faith in the system. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if everybody, I don't know if you've seen Conspiracy Theory. I probably watched it 25 years ago or something, but, you know, you have these paranoiacs. They live in, you know, underground, yes, and they're, you know, expecting the Antichrist to show up tomorrow, and they believe that the entire world is conspiring against that which is righteous and good. But the president of the United States is lost faith in the systems, and 75 million people in America voted for this guy.
Mm.
You know, are they going to lose faith in the system too? I would say a fairly large percentage of them probably will.
I'm looking at a picture of a Trump supporter sitting in the seat in the Senate chamber where I believe Vice President Pence had been standing within the hour before with a hoodie and a baseball hat and a COVID-19 mask on. It's a striking image, and one no doubt that we'll see a lot more of over the weeks ahead. Interestingly, in all of the chaos, Senator Tammy Duckworth, a Democrat from Illinois, said to CBS News that a Senate staffer managed to secure the wooden chests containing the Electoral College certificates before senators were evacuated from the Senate chamber. It feels surreal. It does feel like a movie. It feels totally out of control, and it's hard to imagine that this is America. But I think it represents the opposing worldviews.
Well, of course, everything is under control because God is in the heavens, and he does whatsoever he wills with the kings of the earth, and no one will stay his hand or say, what are you doing? God is in control of all this, but he is destabilizing the most powerful nation on earth, and that's happening right now. And America has been a very stable nation. Thanks be to God, America has been a nation that has committed itself to the rule by law. America has been a nation that's been committed to respect for one another, despite some opinion differences and such. America has been a nation of character, a nation that has respected God, that has acknowledged God. Every dollar bill has a reference to God and God we trust. So America has been a nation with a great deal of stability and has enjoyed the blessing of God over the centuries, but now America's forgotten God. America doesn't fear God in the public schools anymore. America's destabilized, and indeed God is destabilizing the most powerful nation on earth right now. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. That's the way it works. That's Psalm 46, my friends. And the source of the destabilization, let's make no mistake about it, is still sin. America sinned against God. America has sinned, and sin has destabilized the nation. That undermines the trust. I think of Proverbs 28:2, for the transgression of the nation, many are the princes thereof. That is, there's so much transgression, there's so much sin, that eventually you wind up with a tyranny. But then it says, by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged, which means that where there is wisdom, where there's knowledge, where there's a commitment to righteousness on the part of the leaders, you're going to see a prolonging of the state. But as long as you have liberals running the nation, as long as you have a nation that is embracing homosexuality and abortion, all these lawless things, the killing, the perversion, killing to the point where, 7 million kids are being killed every year by the abortifacients and the rest, you're going to look at a nation that is probably coming to an end. There is probably going to be something of a decentralization and a fragmenting of the nation. And it's also interesting, as I review what's going on with the president of the United States this week, the president is standing virtually alone as a leader. I think that's one thing that is interesting to me. He's standing against the media, the high-tech industry, the social media giants, and refers to all these in his speeches. He stands with 75 million voters, but it was also interesting that as he was going over the election problems, you know, in his speech to the million or so folks that had gathered there by the White House, it's interesting that he said, he just as he was giving the speech, he said, okay, I'm talking about the election issues, and he said, I see a lot of the cameras going off right now. So he's referring to the mainstream media, you know, and I'm watching the Fox News online stream version of this, and right in the middle of him making this argument, you know, my signal goes out of it. I'm like banging my computer going, you know, I think I got a computer issue here.
Oh,
you know?
My.
And sure enough, you know, went back to the site, Fox News turned it off, I moved to YouTube, and was able to follow the rest of the speech on YouTube. But it's interesting that, you know, even Fox News couldn't handle the President of the United States referring to the problems in respective states relating to the 2020 presidential election. They didn't want to hear the facts, or whatever he considered to be factual and important for people to consider. Evidently, Fox News wasn't even interested in considering his arguments or the facts as he knew them to be. So, you know, it seems to me that there is something of a book burning, something of a obfuscation of the facts, or, you know, let's not consider these things. Let's not consider the arguments on the part of the conservatives, the 75 million people who voted for Donald Trump. And we don't even want to take the time to consider any of these arguments that he's bringing in relation to the 2020 election.
You mentioned Fox News, even Fox News turned off, but frankly, there has been a mass exodus of viewers away from Fox News to the likes of One America News Network, as well as Newsmax TV and the Epoch Times. There have been all kinds of additional venues for people to get the facts and the truth now that Fox News has seemingly turned its back on both. The tweet storms are interesting. Joe Biden, the presumed president-elect, although it hasn't been certified yet, says, "Our way is plain. It is the way of democracy, of lawfulness, and of respect. Respect for each other and for our nation." I think those are odd words coming from the mouth of someone who pretty much refused to condemn the Black Lives Matter looting and lawlessness that, as you noted in the beginning of the program, cost in the billions of dollars.
Yeah. Well, there's all that hypocrisy on the side of the left, but that's because, you know, it doesn't matter to them. The point is they want to bring a revolution, bring Marxism to a nation, and to bring down all of those principles on which the nation was founded. So it is interesting. The president of the United States is standing virtually alone against the media, against the high-tech industry, the social media giants, et cetera, et cetera. And, friends, I think this is probably going to be the beginning of a populist movement of some sort, because he does have something of a support from 75 million voters in America. That's nothing to ignore. But he's also standing against most of the world leaders. So you're not going to find, I don't think you're going to find a single world leader and say, yeah, I'm with Trump today. But the nation, here's another point I think needs to be made before we're done with this broadcast. And that is, as we have discussed, and as we treated this in our 1,000-page, 500-year history of the United States of America called America and God's Providence. And that book is there for every Christian family in America to get an idea for what has happened in America as we see the rise of Christian America and then the fall of Christian America going on now. We really need to chronicle these things. But the point I made there was that this nation has been cracking up for quite some time. The problem is not just election fraud. Election fraud is just one more way in which the left breaks the commandments of God. But as we've said before, the left has been gung-ho about killing at least 7 million babies a year through the Obamacare abortifacient funding and through the funding of Planned Parenthood for the last 35 years. The nation's been cracking up for a long time. Hey, let's not say the problem with America's election fraud or just election fraud when you know that Americans have killed 150 million babies since the 1960s. We're dealing with the breakdown of the character of the nation. Fatherhood has virtually disappeared. The sexual perversion, adultery, divorce, and even our president has promoted in his books and talks in time past, and we're thinking that he's repented of some of that. We're hoping. But think about all of that corrupts an entire nation and is promoted by the public schools, promoted by the public media and so forth and so on. And then the unprecedented debt doesn't seem to bother our leaders today. But you throw $100 trillion of debt at a nation and you become the third worst nation out of 200 nations in the world when it comes to your debt to savings ratio. And friends, this nation has been going downhill for a long time. This is just the end. This is what the end looks like. But it takes a long time for a nation to come apart. The rising government socialism. And by the way, just the last year, from 21% of the GNI going to Washington in 2019 to 31% of the GNI going to Washington just last year. What is that? A 33% increase in just a single year in terms of the socialist involvement on the part of the federal government of the United States. So, friends, election fraud is just what you would expect from a nation that's breaking all the commandments of God with impunity. There's a lot of water under the bridge. A lot of work has gone into destroying this nation. A lot of TNT has been used on the nation for, what, 50, 60, 80 years. It's hard to believe that a little duct tape in 2021 is going to fix all of that.
I want to say three things. Number one, you were reaching for when did Nixon get on the helicopter? It was August 9th, 1974. Secondly, Kevin, according to the Associated Press, that woman dressed in red, white, and blue, presumably a Trump supporter, who had been shot earlier in the chest by a security official when she was breaking into the House chamber, has subsequently died of her injuries while we were taping this very broadcast. And the third thing is, I just heard a powerful sermon that Dr. Robert Jeffress delivered from First Baptist Dallas that will be featured on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. It's from 2014, but it's as relevant today as it was when he preached it. He talks about the notion of when a building is taken out, the demolition crews will set up dynamite on the key supports. And then after the dynamite blows, they allow the law of gravity to take effect and the building implodes and then it falls upon itself. He describes where America is now as the time between the explosions of our key supports by three critical Supreme Court decisions. One that took the Ten Commandments out of the schools. Secondly, 1973, Roe v. Wade. And third, the opposition to the anti-sodomy laws, Lawrence v. Texas, coupled with the Obergefell decision sanctioning homosexual marriage. Those are the three key explosive moments that have undermined and weakened the moral infrastructure of this nation. And so now we are in that in-between time when the nation is going to implode. First Baptist Church Dallas had bought a series of properties in downtown Dallas. And they had to get rid of four buildings, like 400,000 square feet worth of property. And they had pushed the button. The dynamite had exploded the critical support structures. And then what seemed like an eternity, which really was just seconds, the buildings didn't move. And then ultimately, through the law of gravity, they imploded and they fell in on itself. And he said something very interesting. Robert Jeffress says, Matthew 5:13, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth. And in the days of the Bible, there was no refrigeration, no electricity. Salt was used to preserve the meat. It was not going to ultimately prevent the decay, but it would delay the decay. And he said, what is the purpose? Matthew 5:14 is the answer. The purpose for preserving America or any nation is to delay the inevitable collapse so that you have more time to be the light of the world and to bring people to Jesus Christ.
Well, it's interesting that Pastor Jeffress uses a similar metaphor to what I used when I said there's a lot of TNT that's been used for 50 years in this nation. But I don't want to leave people with a sense of hopelessness. I do believe that there will be a period of instability for the nation. I think we're going to go through a period of transition over, say, 20, 40 years. I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that there will be a period of instability for the nation. Now, again, I want to leave our listening audience with some hope, some opportunity, and realize that Jesus is still over all things to the church. Realize that Jesus is still sovereign. Realize that God is still gracious. God could have great mercy upon this nation or some portion of this nation. And so I think we should continue to cry out to God for his mercy upon our nation. The fact of the matter is this, though, and I want you all to listen carefully, because I think this is the core problem with the elections and what is happening with our nation, and that is the blue cities are evil. That is, those cities that are they're dominated by Democrats and by the leftists, the blue cities in America are evil. Denver is evil. Los Angeles is evil. Portland is evil. Seattle is evil. The fact of the matter is these are cesspools of sin and evil. And that's just the hard, cold facts. The blue cities are in power. The blue city thugs are in power now. They can rule like dictators, but their cheating is a little more sophisticated than the Banana Republic dictators of South America. Okay, so that's just the way things go now. The Blue City thugs are in power. They don't submit themselves to God's laws. They're not men of integrity. They don't stop short of killing babies and embracing every kind of perversion and lying about every single thing that exists on earth. I mean, they want to break God's commandments with impunity because they feel that they are in power and they're unable to do this kind of thing. They are something of that large oak tree. The wicked are like the large oak tree, and yet eventually they do come down. That's Psalm 37. But here's the point. The Blue City thugs are in power, all right? The elections are going to be manipulated by the Blue Cities, where they can take a 70-30% margin and change it at will to 80-20 and then swing the statewide election in their favor. So that's just the way it works. That's the way it's going to work with the Blue City thugs from Chicago, from Portland, from Columbus, Ohio, anywhere else. Okay, where the Blue City thugs are in power, you know they're going to break every commandment of God with impunity. So you can expect them to take a 70-30% margin in the Blue City and change it to 80-20 by manipulating the election rules and swinging the statewide election in their favor. Now, here's what could happen. The constitutionalists, the Christians, those who have some principle left and want to preserve law and order and some standard of righteousness are going to need a new strategy. We cannot allow for the anarchists who claim to be on the conservative side, the rabble-rousers, to run into the Capitol, grab the guns, and create more anarchy. That's not the solution, all right? Now, our leaders could lead a secession movement. Our governors, our president, if he wanted to do something constructive, he could start working on a secession movement where we begin to see more of a decentralization of the powers away from the Blue Cities. If there were men of integrity, governors, state leaders over counties and states, they could strike a lawful approach towards secession and forming new states. And here's how it happens. The rural states and the rural areas could do their best to secede from the Blue Cities and let the Blue Cities rot. All right? This would provide more U.S. Senate seats to rural states and take away a few valuable electors from the Blue Cities. Now, the Blue Cities are going to push for a more Democratic vote, eliminating the Electoral College, because they can stuff the ballot boxes anytime they want to. They are pure evil. They break every commandment of God, as we said, and they just don't care to be honest. And they'll tell you that, by the way, in an honest moment. So our strategy is going to have to change. We're going to have to find ways to create more islands of freedom. And by God's grace, we've had islands of freedom form. Get my book, The Story of Freedom, and identify the right strategy, friends, for how we are going to make it through a period of tyranny and a period in which the Blue City thugs are taking over America. Get a copy of my book, The Story of Freedom. Available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. There's also a study guide that goes along with it for a high school level course. But the important part is the book, The Story of Freedom. And friends, we are going to have to develop a good strategy to work our way through this. Now, let me end with this. We're always back to the original problem. That is, there are very few men of integrity and courage who are willing to lead. That's our problem. We have lots of anarchists who talk a big talk, like to carry their big guns around. We have a lot of Republican women in leadership. But friends, that's not going to work if there are few men, almost no men left, of integrity, faith, and courage, serving as county sheriffs, serving our House, our Senates, serving in our local state governments. Friends, there are few pastors and churches leading in repentance and preaching a clear gospel and a clear standard of righteousness from God's laws, equipping the man of God for every good work in the churches. So again, we come back to the original problem over and over again. If God restores a spirit of humility, of repentance before Him, and by God's grace, we begin to disciple the nations and we find men of integrity, men of commitment to God and to His kingdom, men who are committed to God's laws and God's principles, men who are committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to need thousands of them. If we had even 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 of them around the country, around this country of 350 million, if we had a couple thousand men of integrity, I think we could make a difference. Pray for that, would you? As we go through these rough waters as a nation. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.